Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs of how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
Good.
Whoa, sounds like we're kind of dragging there a little bit. All right. Gentlemen, we just launched a new study here in our Life Change group of Neighbors of Hope. Our topic of study is kind of looking at a common tapestry throughout the biblical narratives, and that's understanding holiness. And so today I want to continue that vein of thought on holiness and the pericope of scripture that I've chosen for us to reflect upon today comes from Exodus chapter 3. Now, I had you read this whole chapter prior to us going on the air so that we could discuss it, but because of its length, can I have somebody please just kind of summarize for our listening audience what the general content of the narrative is? Thanks, Tom.
Basically, Moses was tending to his sheep, seen a burning bush, walked towards it. Before he got really close to it, God, he said, don't come any closer. It's holy ground, take your sandals off. Basically, talks about, pulling the people of Egypt out of their misery, taking them out of Egypt. And then says basically that he's seen all the pain caused to all of his people in Egypt, pulls them out and puts them in to the land of the Canaanites, Amorites, a couple other ones. That's pretty much.
Yeah, and we got the divine name in there, look at, this talking bush says to me, I want you to go to Egypt. Huh, really? Okay, so if I go down there and they ask me who's sent, do I just tell them some burning bush or? No, you tell them I sent you. Okay, you got a name? I am that I am. Like that helps. But yes, that's kind of the general themes. All right, within the context of our thematic study here on holiness, let's just go around and let you share, based upon your reading of chapter 3, what kind of jumped out at you.
I don't know, kind of piggyback on the I am thing. So what jumps out to me is when he says, I am who I am. To me, it's this kind of like absolute thing, this holiness, this, this is telling I am. I ask questions, I shake my fist at God sometimes. Sometimes there's things I want, I think I need, and I'm always, But it's just like that I am, what it said to me, it was more than I am. It was just kind of like that, look, listen, be quiet, shut up, do what I say, kid. And don't worry about all these things, and I'm with you. I am, who I am. It's just the same,
Okay.
So now that, it speaks out to me. Sometimes I need to slow down, think too much, think about this, I worry about this, I try to focus on this and that. There's one thing God's revealed to me, especially last month, is to shut up, be quiet, listen.
I think for me, verse 16 and 17 really stick out for me. He says that he has seen, he's watched over us and seen what's been done to me in my Egypt, while my Egypt was my addiction, and he promised to pull us out of that, and he did. He pulled me out and brought me here, and that's where I relate the most is those two verses.
Okay, anybody else?
I think Moses knew God, but I think Moses is truly introduced to God. It's just like me when I was out there in my addiction and everything. I knew God, but I didn't understand God. And so all the suffering that I went through, that I was going through in my addiction and everything, didn't understand why I was going through it. And so it's like Moses didn't understand everything that he was going through. And so he comes across this bush, you know, and he comes across God, the presence of God. And so for me, being out there in my addiction, knowing God but not understanding God, for me it's like this house was like my burning bush, because here I see God. I see God every day, as far as just the donors, when they supply donations to the house and everything, how everything is taken care of for me here. I mean, we don't really worry about too much, and that's all God. And so you here, you really see the presence of God. And I think Moses, being on that holy ground, when God told him, just, you know, don't take them sandals off. You know, you're on holy ground. And so a lot of people who come in here, who do Bible studies, they always say that this is holy ground, you know, because people truly feel the presence of God here. We see God at work. And so I think it's, God is just letting Moses know that I am. You know, I am who I am. And no matter what, the suffering that the Egyptians was going through, or the Hebrews was going through, God said, I got you. And so by me coming here and everything, it's just a testament that when I was out there in my addiction, I was just suffering and everything, and God brought me here to this place, to this holy place. He let me know that I got you. No matter what you go through, I got you. And you know, like Zach said, sometimes it's just about being still and listening to that voice of God. But it's hard to do that when you're in an addiction, because you just don't know how. And so being here, I'm learning how to listen to the voice of God. Truly learning how to listen to the voice of God.
Okay. Bert, this stands out most to me is, not only he tells him, do not come any closer, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. It's kind of like Kevin said, you know, this is my burning bush, I come here, and then, you know, it doesn't say that Moses leans down and takes the sandals off. Instead, he just asks all these questions. Well, what am I to do? I do the same thing. I came here, seen the burning bush, I got all these questions, you know, I got traded in for a new pair of Nikes.
I'm sure they had something to bless it more for you, so let's see if we can bless you.
Fine, regional show.
Anybody else? Anybody else got anything they want to add? All right, well, the topic is holiness. Holy grounds. First time so far in the Bible that this word gets used. Right, so we've already gone through Genesis, and there's a lot that happens there. We get to Exodus, and there's already in the first couple chapters a lot that's happened in the life of Moses. Somehow or another, this is holy ground. Now, do you remember the four components or the fourfold definition I gave you on holiness the other day?
A living force, something unseen, but we know is real. Being separate, to be set apart, to be distinct, to be a royal priesthood separate from other nations as a holy nation. Be godlike, let us be imitators of God, and dynamism. It's powerful.
Yeah, living force, separateness, godlikeness, and dynamism. You know. Do you see any of those in this story? Now, Kevin kind of alluded to the fact that, you know, I see God in the donors. Now, are the donors God?
No.
Yeah. All right, so is the burning bush actually God?
No,
but somehow or another, what we learn first and foremost before God says this is holy ground is Moses has encountered something. He sees a burning bush, so he sees something, but he says, "Yeah, look, this is pretty peculiar. I think I gotta back up and take a second look." Right? And so we're talking about living force. We're talking about something that's unseen, but we're experiencing. All right, here we have Moses. All right? Now, what about this idea of separateness? What about this notion of being distinct, set apart? Where might you find that in this story?
Well, this was set apart to leave the people out of Israel.
Okay, so, yeah, all right. Yeah, to some degree.
He was being called to a special task to leave the people of Israel out of bondage.
Okay.
The Lord did to Baha'u'llah by revealing something he saw as a burning blush.
All right. It might be, I think that's part of it. Thank you. For the sake of time, just let me iterate this. It says that God has observed my people. I have heard their cry. Now, observation, we tend to think is more, these are part of these anthropomorphic characteristics, but on God, human characteristics applied to God. We observe things, so we watch things, so it implies some sort of eyesight. Heard implies ears. You know, I mean, obviously Moses wasn't seeing eyes and ears on the burning bush. But it does, for the Old Testament writer here, it is trying to say something about God, that this is a different God. I mean, all of our other gods, we never really interacted with. Right? I mean, you have statues, you have these idols, you have these altars that you burn incense to, and, you know, if you sacrifice enough, God will make it rain so the plants grow.
Isn't that Yahweh's tradition, which Kevin brought up earlier, between the Yahweh's tradition and Yahweh's tradition?
Well, yeah. That's another topic. Another day, we'll explore that, yes. So part of this is separating this God from all other gods, because this God hears, this God responds, this God engages. Right? So the separateness, the distinctiveness of this God among the other, at that time, known gods, right, makes this God holy. So we're at 2. Obviously, the God-likeness, there's really this call upon Moses to kind of do what God is telling him to do. So Moses, along the lines of being a Hebrew, and the Hebrews are enslaved by Egypt, right? They're being oppressed. I do think, you know, Kevin mentioned before we went on the air, you know, that... I don't know if it's so much Moses second-guessing himself as much as going, do I really want to be engaged in liberation again? Because part of what he did when he was second in command was to try to liberate. And I think he realizes what that fight's all about. And so he kind of second-guesses himself from that perspective. You know, I can't do it. Really? Think of like a Martin Luther King Jr. You know, Selma didn't go over well. So maybe we shouldn't do that again. But they did. Right? We've all had these kind of encounters, you know. We definitely would not have athletics, as every time you lose, you don't play the game again. Right? But between Moses and the people, not only is God separate and distinct, not only is God their encounter of this God who's going to liberate them and bring them out of Egypt, right? They are experiencing the unseen God, right, the living force. And because this God is distinct and separate, we see that the Hebrews, slaves, become distinct and separate. You are my people. There's this relationship of distinctiveness. Right? So yes, when Moses does accept the invitation to be the mouthpiece, in a sense, of God, and that's just it, Moses is not going to go to the Pharaoh with a sword. He's going there with the word of God. And how did God create? Well, one of the creation stories says that God spoke. Right? So when we, like Jesus, when we speak the words of God, to some degree we're God-like. So gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farming Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. We look forward to you joining us again next Sunday morning.